بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد سيد الأولين والآخرين وعلى جميع إخوانه من النبيين والمرسلين وآل كل وصحب كل ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. All praise is due to Allah, and may Allah raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and protect his nation from that which he fears for them. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, let us first have the proper intention in our hearts to attend the lesson for the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In our previous lesson, we mentioned the proofs about the permissibility and the rewardability of commemorating the birth of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We mentioned that all the scholars of Islam have agreed unanimously that commemorating the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a good innovation in Islam. It's not a bad innovation, since it comprises reciting the Quran, praising Allah, praising the Prophet, telling the story of the Prophet's birth, talking about his biography, his physical features, his traits, and the like. And all these acts are approved in our religion in general. So commemorating the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by performing these acts of worship is something rewardable. One would get the rewards if he intends a good intention out of his love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We ask Allah to bless us with the blessings of this occasion. Ameen. In our lesson tonight, we'll be talking about some of the traits of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his physical features, as well as the story of breastfeeding the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and about his chest when it was cut open and what happened during that time. The father of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abdullah, died when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was 2 months old, just 2 months old. Some said that Amina was pregnant about 6 months with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when his father passed away. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born as an orphan. Halima al-Sa'diyah from the tribe of Sa'd breastfed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because his mother didn't have sufficient milk for her son to breastfeed him. And at that time, they used to hire breastfeeding women, would give them money so they can breastfeed the child. So Halima mentioned the story about breastfeeding the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which we are going to explain now inshallah. She said, I went to Mecca with some ladies from the tribe of Sa'd, the son of Bakr. And we were looking for babies to breastfeed. I was riding a female donkey close to being white, in a year of drought, in a year of drought, that it did not leave for us anything. So in a year of drought, no fruits, no plants growing, no rain. It was a hard year for them, that year of drought. She said, I went with some ladies from the tribe of Sa'd, the son of Bakr, to Mecca looking for babies to breastfeed. I went with my husband on an old camel. They had an old camel that it would not give us a drop of milk. It's very old, that female camel, that it wouldn't give one drop of milk. I had a baby with me, her baby that she used to nurse and breastfeed, that he wouldn't let them sleep at night because of him crying out of hunger. And I had nothing in my breast to feed him. When we arrived Mecca, every one of us took a baby to breastfeed. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was to be offered to them, they used to refuse. Because these breastfeeding women were looking for a good return, money, good payment from his father. And because they knew that he was an orphan, so he had no father, they refused to take him and breastfeed him, as they were thinking, we won't get enough money in return. And we used to say, he's an orphan, what would his mother do for us? Every one of my friends, she's talking about them, took a child to breastfeed, and I was left with none. So I disliked going back to the tribe without anyone. So I thought to myself, I should go to that orphan child, baby, and take him. So I said to my husband, I swear to God, I'll go to that orphan baby and take him. She said, I went and I took him. And my husband asked me as we were returning back, did you take him? She said, I said to him, yes, I swear by God, because I didn't find anyone else. Then he said to her, you're right, you've done the right thing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the blessings in this child that we can experience. She said, I swear to God. Once I put him in my lap and I gave him my breast, then the milk started gushing out from my breast for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He drank until he was satisfied. Then I wanted to give him the other breast to continue breastfeeding, and he refused to take the other one. And that was because, as the scholars said, he didn't want to take both. He wanted to leave the other one for his brother. His brother from breastfeeding. So when she saw that he rejected the other one, she gave the other breast to her son. And he started drinking until he was satisfied. and he slept that night quietly. She mentioned before that they never used to fall asleep because of this baby crying all night, as she had insufficient milk to breastfeed her baby. But that night, he took what sufficed him of the milk, and he slept that night quietly, and we all drank. And she said, all my kids slept that night peacefully. Then her husband said to her, O Halima, I can see that you have gained a blessed soul, referring to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look, our kids slept peacefully. She said, the following day we left, and I took my livestock to graze them. And the other lady said to her, keep away your female camel from us. Because, as she mentioned before, it was very weak. It was an old female camel that wouldn't give one drop of milk. But the following day, the situation was different. Even the female donkey that she used to ride on became very strong. We went to a land that had nothing to graze our livestock in. I was looking, she said, and I saw my livestock, the animals would go to this land, they graze. Now apparently there is nothing. They would go graze in that land, then they would come back full and filled with milk. The livestock would go to a place that would seem better than this one, and they come back hungry with no milk. Then people would say from her tribe, why don't you take your livestock to the same place where Halima is taking her livestock? Take your livestock to the same place where Halima takes them. The following day, they would swap. So the people from her tribe would take the livestock to where Halima took her livestock the day before, and vice versa. But the result is one. Halima's livestock will come back full and full of milk, while the livestock will come back hungry with no milk. So it's not a matter of land. It's not a matter of place. It's the blessings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She said, I realized that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to grow in one day, while other children would grow in 1 month. And he would grow in 1 month, while others would grow in 1 year, quickly, until he reached the age of 1 year. We came to his mother, and the father said to Amina, the mother of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, why don't you keep your son with us? Because there is a type of disease that was widespread in Mecca at that time. And we are worried about him. He might catch that disease. Why don't you keep him with us? And of course, the reason why they were insisting to keep the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is because of the blessings they found in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and in that tribe. So they brought him back and he stayed with them for another 2 months. One day he was playing with his brother behind the houses, and they were looking after some of our livestock. Then his brother came back running, shivering, and he said to his mother Halima and his father, "Go and check on my brother, the one from Quraysh. I saw 2 men coming to him. They placed him on the ground. They cut open his chest, and I'm worried about him." So they went out, rushed towards the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They found the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with his face pale. His father hugged him and I hugged him. Then we said, "Oh, our son, what happened?" Then the Prophet said to them, and he was at that age, around, some scholars said, 2 years at that time. He said, "Two men came wearing white clothes. They put me on the ground. They cut open my chest, and I don't know what they did inside." So we took him and came back with him, and the father, he says, "Oh Halima, I can see that this son has been inflicted with a harm. Something had happened to him. Let us take him back to his family, to his mother, before anything else that is worse that could happen to him." So they came back to his mother and they said to her, "Take your son. We have done our part up to here. Now it's time for your son to go back to you." Amina said to them, "That's strange. Shortly before this time, you were insisting to keep him. And now you want to return him. What happened?" They said, "Nothing. We have looked after him, breastfed him, and did what we think we must do towards him. And now we are worried that something might happen to him, so we thought it's better he should be with his mother." Then his mother said, "That's not the story. Tell me exactly what happened." So she insisted, the mother of the Prophet insisted, that they tell the story. They told her in the end, and she said to them, "And you got scared? You got worried about him? I swear to God that my son has a special rank. I have carried him for 9 months, never felt that I was pregnant. And that is from the blessings of this child. When I gave birth to him, I saw a great illumination of light that came out of me, that I was able to see the necks of the camels in Busra, that's from Asham. So she was in Mecca, she was able to see the necks of the camels in Busra in Asham, one of the regions of Asham. And this is a karama, extraordinary thing that happened to his mother. So she said a great illumination of light came out and she was able to see the necks of the camels in Busra, in the region of Asham. When he was born, he wasn't born like any other child. He was leaning on his hands to the ground, looking at the sky. That's a place of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it was mentioned that he was born with his umbilical cord already cut and tied. That is something for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then she said, leave him and go to your affairs. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as narrated by Muslim and others from the root of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, that he said, Jibreel came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam while he was playing with other kids. He put him on the ground, he cut open his chest, and he took a black mark from his heart. And he said, that's where the devil whispers to the son of Adam. So he took it out, so there is no way for the devil to whisper to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with anything bad. Then he washed his heart using a container made of gold filled with Zamzam water. Then he put it back together as it was. Then that's when the boys came to their mom, the one that was breastfeeding them, that's Halima, and told her Muhammad was killed. And that's when they came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they saw him with his face paled. Anas radiallahu anhu, Anas, the son of Malik from Al-Ansar, he served the Prophet for 10 years. He used to be the servant of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anas said, I saw the trace of the stitches in the chest of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Didn't Jibreel cut open his chest and he put it back together and he saw it? So he said, I was able to see these marks. So it's like there was a scar in the chest of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Anas was talking about. So it left a scar, a mark in the chest of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why the scholars said, based on many narrations, the chest of the Prophet ﷺ was cut open twice. Once, when he was around 2 years old, when he was at Halima's house from the tribe of Sa'd, and the second time during the night of Al-Isra and Al-Mi'raj. So that was the second time. So that was the story about breastfeeding the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now we'll talk about some of the physical features of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his traits. Al-Bukhari and Muslim narrated from the root of Al-Bara ibn Azib, that's one of the companions, may Allah raise his rank, that he said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had the most beautiful face, and he was the best in manners. He wasn't that tall, and he wasn't short. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was moderate in his length. He wasn't too tall and he wasn't short. But he was closer to being called tall. So if you were to see the Prophet, look at him, the first impression you get is that the Prophet is tall. But he was average, tending towards being tall. Also, Al-Bayhaqi and Al-Tabarani narrated from the root of Abi Ubaidah ibn Muhammad ibn Ammar ibn Yasir that he said, I said to Al-Rubayya binti Muawiz, that's one of the female companions, describe the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for me. She said, if you see the Prophet, you say the sun has risen. So once you see the Prophet, you look at his face, you say the sun has risen. Also Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu said, I haven't seen anything more beautiful than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As if the sun orbits in his face. You know how the sun moves in this orbit from east to west? It's moving in that orbit. As if the sun is moving in his face. This is a type of description to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how outstanding the beauty of his face was. And he said, I haven't seen anyone faster in his walk than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As if the earth is getting folded under his feet as he walks. He said, I swear to God, we will be puffing, as you say, trying to catch up to the Prophet, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wouldn't be affected in any way, the least. So if you walk with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you need to put forth effort to catch up to the Prophet, as if you want to jog, just to try to catch up, keep up with the Prophet as he's walking. And if you look at the Prophet, he's not putting any effort in his walking. In some ahadith as well, it was mentioned that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to walk, as if he is going downhill. You know, if you're going downhill, now you feel a force pushing you to run. That was the normal walk of the Prophet. sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why his normal walk, as if he is walking faster, and they have to put effort just to catch up to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anas ibn Malik as well described the hair of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by saying that the hair of the Prophet used to reach his shoulders. In some cases, it would be up to his ears. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in some cases would let his hair grow up to his shoulders, and in other cases would trim his hair and make it reach only up to his ears. It was pitch black. By the time the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died, he had only 20 gray hair in his head and in his beard. So if you want to count them, about 20. At the age of 63, that's when he passed away, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also Anas ibn Malik said, as narrated by Muslim, I haven't smelled a fragrance better than the fragrance coming out of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not even the best type of musk they used to get. And I haven't touched anything, not even silk, that is smoother than the hand of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also, Anas mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wasn't too tall and wasn't short. He had a white skin, but not the dispraised whiteness, the very, very white. No, he didn't reach that stage. So you can say he had white skin, the praised whiteness, and he wasn't dark in skin. So he didn't have a dark skin, and he didn't have very bright white skin. It was white and faded with, or shaded with, redness. This is how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. So if you look at his skin, you see it white, but mixed with redness, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nicer than red roses on white snow. So when you see the red roses on white snow, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was more handsome, more beautiful than this view. He said his hair was not curly and was not fully straight. It was mentioned that towards being straight, but it had like a type of curliness, but not fully curly. It's like waves, wavy. So his hair was wavy, wasn't fully straight and wasn't curly, fully curly. It was in between. And he received the revelation at the age of 40, stayed in Mecca for about 10 years. So he omitted the 3 years, but he means roughly. But in fact, the Prophet stayed for 13 years in Mecca. Then he went to Medina and died close to age of 60, which is 63 to be more specific. And he did not have in his head or in his beard gray hair except for about 20 at this age صلى الله عليه وسلم. Now, if you were to talk about the physical attributes of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in more details, we need more than this session. But that's in brief. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was average, closer to being tall. He had white skin, but not excessively white. It was mixed with redness. His hair was black. His eyebrows weren't too thick, and they were not connected with each other. He had long eyelashes, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His eyes were black, so that's the pupil of the eye, black, and the cornea around it is very white with some red lines in it. But the blackness of his eyes is what you would ever imagine of beauty in the eyes. His nose was average, wasn't pointy, and wasn't huge. His teeth had a gap between them, and this is a sign of beauty as well in the teeth. They were white with a little gap between them. His beard was thick. He was wide between his shoulders. His chest and his abdomen were on the same level, so he didn't have any belly extending out. He was on the same level, the belly and the chest. He didn't have too many hair on his chest. Rather, the scholars or the companions, as they saw the Prophet, they said, you can only see a very thin line of hair in the middle of the chest of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His hands weren't small, rather they were big enough, filled, so they weren't thin, skinny. And when he used to walk, you can feel how firm and steady his stride is. And if he were to be called by someone, he wouldn't look at him by only turning his head towards him. Rather, he would turn all his body towards him. That's from the adab of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if someone is calling him from this side, he wouldn't just look by turning his head and his body is in another direction. Now he would turn fully to that person, and this is to show the attention he's giving to those who talk to him. Now, as for his traits, when Aisha radiallahu anha was asked about the traits of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his manners, she summarized his manners with a very meaningful statement. She said, "Kana khuluquhu al-Qur'an." Kana khuluquhu al-Qur'an. Meaning, if you want to know the manners of the Prophet, then read the Qur'an. Every single good manner and trait that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala urged the slaves to have, it's one of his manners. That means when we practice our religion now, usually to what extent we practice? You might find people practicing 80%, 70, 60, 50, whatever. All the good traits in religion that Islam urged one to have, how many do we apply from all of these. You can know yourself to what extent. Imagine the Prophet ﷺ practiced all the good manners, not only practiced all the good manners, he mastered them. Just imagine, so he was number one in each of these manners. That's what the Prophet ﷺ said in another hadith, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. I've been sent to exhibit and to show to others the completion of manners. Meaning, if you were to assess the manners of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will tick all the good manners. You cannot find anything that is negative. All positive. All the good manners, all what you could think of. Forgiveness, mercy, compassion, thinking of others, sympathy. All these, you find them in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And not only you find them, you find them in the best quality ever. In the best quality ever. That's why the companions used to learn from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they tried to describe his traits sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his manners. But every time a person would try to describe the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and talk about his manners, all the poems authored in praising the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would fall short. They won't cover all the manners that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had. Shyness, for instance, you can see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to have this level of shyness, feeling with others. If he is sad about something, you can see that in his face. He gets affected. If he is happy, you can see that in his face as well. Remember when we told you that a group of companions came to the Prophet and they were very poor and they were wearing just a piece of clothes, and the signs of poverty were showing on them. When the Prophet saw them, his face changed. You can see the sadness. That's from the sympathy of the Prophet towards these people. Then he asked the companions to donate, give donations, so they can help these disadvantaged people. The companions started making donations. They started giving donations. They, until a great amount of donations accumulated and piled up in front of the Prophet. Huge amount, enough for them. Gold, weight, bread, anything. Everyone started bringing anything from his house, whatever he can offer. Some offered gold, some offered bread, some offered dates, until they had a big pile in front of the Prophet, donations for these poor people. Then the face of the Prophet changed. You can see now it's very happy. To that extent that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to be affected by people. And despite all that, he used to pray at night to an extent without harming himself, because the Prophet wouldn't harm himself, but to an extent from long standing, his legs become swollen. But not this swell that would be a harm. You know, sometimes if you are working all the day, you get tired and you feel like if you were, let us say, size 7, at the end of the day it becomes size 8 because you're standing all day. This sign of swell, not the one that harms. So he used to stand at night praying to an extent that his legs would become swollen. Then after resting, they'll go back to normal. Aisha radiallahu anha said to the Prophet, O Messenger of Allah, look at yourself. You are spending this time at night praying, and you're the one that was protected from sinning in the past and in the future. So you are protected. That means he is the best of the creations. He will be in paradise. And Allah protected him from sinning in the past and in the future. So why he's putting this effort to pray at night for that period of time? Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam answered, shouldn't I be a thankful slave? So if Allah azza wa jal bestowed upon him this great endowment that he is the best of the creations, he is protected from sinning in the past and in the future, shouldn't he thank Allah azza wa jal for this great endowment? That was his answer sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if that was the Prophet, what should we do? If the Prophet, the one who is protected from sinning in the past and in the future, and he used to stay at night praying to that extent, what should we do? So we should follow the steps of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Regarding his bravery, he was the bravest out of all. He was given the strength of 40 men. Regarding his generosity, many ahadith were mentioned. One of them is that a person came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asking for something. And Anas ibn Malik said the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wouldn't knock away anyone who comes and asks him for something. Anyone who would come to him and ask him for something, the Prophet would give him his request. He said one day a person came, he wasn't a Muslim. He came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, give me something. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam pointed to a herd of sheep between two mountains. They all belonged to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He pointed to a herd of sheep between two mountains and he said to him, take them all. Then that person went to his people and said, embrace Islam, O my people, because Muhammad gives out of generosity like the person who never fears poverty. Despite all that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam lived a very humble life. He used to sleep on al-hasir. Al-hasir is not like the mat we have now. See this one, they call it hasir. But this one is smooth compared to the one they had at that time. It was made like from thick robes. So it was rough. It's like a rag, but rough rag. He used to sleep on it. To an extent that one day Umar radiallahu anhu saw him. And it left a mark on the side of the Prophet, on his face and on his side. It's very rough. And he cried. The Prophet said to him, why are you crying, O Umar? He said, O Messenger of Allah, look, you sleep on this rough rag. And Caesar and Kisra, the kings of the Romans and the Persians at that time, sleep on silk, mattress made of silk. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, wouldn't you accept that they have what they have in this world and we have the hereafter. So we get what we want in the hereafter. In another hadith he said, why should I care about this dunya? Why should I make my heart attached to it, when in fact I'm like a person who's a passerby who passed by a tree, sat underneath it to have a rest in its shade, then soon he will leave it and continue his journey. So this is how the Prophet ﷺ described our stay in this life. Like someone passing by a tree, sitting under it to have a rest, then he will continue his journey. That's the period of time. To conclude our session, I would like to warn you against some of the fabrications. Now, although we commemorate the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we talk about his biography, his lineage, his physical features, his manners and traits, but that doesn't mean we fabricate things about the Prophet, because we are not allowed to. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith, do not exaggerate in praising me. I'm a slave, so say about me, I'm the slave of Allah and His Messenger. So we praise the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the extent that we are allowed and we are ordered. We don't go beyond our limits. Some people say, and this is a fabrication, and that's in a book known as Mawlid al-Aruz. They say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took a fist, or a handful, they say, a handful of his light and said to it, be Muhammad, and it became Muhammad. So this belief is not what Muslims believe, because Muslims believe that Allah is not a body, is not a mass, is not a volume. So in this book it's mentioned that Allah is a big quantity of light, and that Allah took part of it and made it Muhammad. So according to this false and blasphemous belief, Muhammad is part of God, and that God is a big mass of light. This is blasphemous. That's not the belief of Muslims. Allah is the creator of light and darkness. Allah does not resemble the creations. That's one thing. Another thing, some people fabricate a hadith where they say that the Prophet said to the companion, Jabir, know Jabir that the first thing Allah created is the light of your Prophet. This is a fabrication, because the Prophet himself, in many hadiths that are classified as confirmed, authenticated, sahih, mentioned that the first creation is water. And Islamically, you know, the precedence by existence does not make such a thing better than what came into existence later. For instance, who was created first, Adam or Satan? Satan was created before Adam. Does that make Satan better than Adam? No. So Adam was created after Satan, but he's a prophet, and Satan is the worst blasphemer. So it's not a rule that they can follow to say, yeah, we are trying to prove that the light of Muhammad is the first creation because he is the best of the creations. You say to them, the precedence in existence does not give preference to this on others that would come after. That's not a rule. Also, what you need to be warned against as well, some people claim that when Jibreel alayhi salam used to receive the revelation, he used to receive behind a barrier, from behind a barrier, so he would be receiving the Quran. That's how some people claim. Be from behind a barrier, and then he would take the Quran as he heard it and go to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and propagate that recitation to the Prophet, convey it. So they say Jibril used to hear the recitation from behind a barrier, then he would convey to the Prophet, and he said one day this barrier was lifted and he saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam behind it, and he said to the Prophet, from you and to you. It's a fabrication. This is a fabrication. And also among the lies that are fabricated in some books, they say that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Jibreel, how many years have you lived so far? And they say that Jibreel said, I don't know, O Messenger of Allah, but there is a star that appears only once in every 70,000 years. And I saw it so far 72,000 times. They say that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, I swear by the glory of God that I am that star. This is a fabrication as well. We don't need to fabricate something about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to show his high rank. He has the highest rank out of all the creations. He is the one chosen by Allah Azza wa Jal to be the best creation. Whoever sees him in a dream, in the description that we have mentioned earlier, will receive the good tidings that he will be in paradise on the day of judgment, and that he won't be tortured in the grave. He will be granted safety, assurance of no punishment in the hereafter. Everyone looks for this. Everyone looks for this. And if he sees the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this way as well, the scholar said, before his death, despite the distance between him and the Prophet in Medina, in his grave, this distance will be like looking through the window. Like there is a glass, transparent, you can see through it. That person will see the Prophet while the person is dying, will see the Prophet at his grave, and the Prophet will smile at him and give him the good tidings that he will be in paradise. Because the devil is unable to come in the dream in the shape of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, nor in reality. In the dream, as the Prophet said, the devil cannot take my shape. That's in the dream. How about in reality? We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to grant us this blessing, inshallah, of seeing the Prophet in our dreams, inshallah, in his original form. And we ask Allah to gather us under the banner of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on Judgment Day, and Allah knows best.